Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is daf Kuf Beis. We're holding the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. And we're going to focus initially on what's called a neger or a nagar. What is a neger or nagar? This is a bolt that you have on the bottom of the doors that fits into the floor. Something similar to what we spoke about yesterday about the pivot. This is the nagar, the bolt that goes into the floor. The major problem with this is, as we'll see from the Gemara, these door bolts were not attached to the door in the sense like we have them today, where if you are closing one of these doors that have these one of these bolts, you go and push it up and push it down, built into the door itself. Same thing at the top of the door. Rather, these were detached from the doors, and you used it presumably something similar to a door stopper that you would put into the ground, and with this you were able to close the door so the door wouldn't swing back and forth. So you put this nagar into the ground, it held it in place. Now the problem with that is, Rashi says on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, that when you put these types of door stoppers or bolts into the floor or into the threshold, it's not that much different, says Rashi, than a person who is knocking a nail into the wall. Knocking a nail into the wall, says Rashi, that's part of binyan. That's part of construction. You want to go and somehow make the binyan stronger, better. You're knocking nails into the wall. So here, by putting this bolt into the floor, you're also, at least in theory, engaging in construction.
You and think that he maybe pre-drilled the holes?
We may think that there's a hole. Well, there's certainly a hole in the threshold in which he is putting in this neger. Right. So this people who are not familiar with what's going on could think that what he's trying to do is fill up the hole. Because in this hole, unfortunately, there are rodents, there are squirrels, there are other problems with it. And so therefore they want to go and close up the hole, and he's putting in this neger in, and therefore he is osek in bone. So that's the shaila over here. And says the Mishnah, if this nagar yesh baroshe glustera, what does glustera mean? Glustera means that it's not just a bolt which is uniform from top to bottom, but rather at the very top it comes out with like a thicker head, similar to a nail where the top of it has a head. Here too you also have a thicker head. So what difference does that make? Says Rashi, because then you could use it as a pestle in a pestle and mortar situation. You want to go and crush some ingredients, you take a pestle and you crush it. This glustera is a multitasker. You can use it not only as a bolt in the ground, you can use it also for crushing ingredients. Okay, so what does that help me? What that helps me is it has now a teiras kli. Somebody is not muting and we hear some background noise, please mute yourselves. So, because of the fact that you could use it as a kli, says Rabbi Yossi, it's mutter to use this neger on Shabbos to plug up the hole, because anybody that sees it says, this is not intended to be a construction feat or event. This is just a temporary fix to close the door, to hold the door in place, because you could see that this is a valuable item that can be used as a pestle. Why would you throw a pestle out and just go and passel it by putting it into the floor and leaving it there? So it's not intended to be bona, it's intended to be there just as a temporary thing, and therefore you don't have to worry. Yes, Barry, what's your question?
Pestle is usually used for grinding, which is usher on Shabbos. So even if it has a Torah kli as a pestle, it's still a pestle, a kli shemalachto on the iser.
Absolutely right, and I expect you to ask that question. So you recall that we learned back in Masechta Shabbos that even a kli shemalachto li iser is you're allowed to use it leheter, such as, and again, to for psak halacha, speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi. But what happens if you have walnuts and you want to go and crack them open on Shabbos? According to Shmuel, we had back in Masechta Shabbos, even though a hammer is used li isur, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos leheter to go and crack open your walnuts.
My God,
so there. I'm sorry.
Not with a, nutcracker. Not with
a, nutcracker. Yeah. Right. Anyway, here we're talking about using a hammer for it. So therefore, even though it's a klisha malachli isn't, but you can use it for a dover heter. What's the dover heter over here? To go and stop the door from swinging back and forth. So this would l'choyre be permissible according to Shmuel, and I believe also l'halacha, speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi. But getting back to our Mishnah, Rebbe Lazar says it's asur, Rebbe Yossi holds it's mutter. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi, four lines from the bottom, neger kibilya, shetoichman oisa, you go and stick it in, l'choyre, in the hole, should be iskupa on the threshold, linol adeles, to keep the door closed.
This neger, is it also like nagar, like carpenter?
It could be that it's related. In other words, it could be that the standard forms of those were made out of wood and were made by carpenters. So the carpenter's product perhaps is called a neger. It could be. Normally, when we say the Gemara Lashon, we refer to the carpenter as a nagar. In the English, in the art scroll, they call this a neger. So I assume that there is some etymological connection, that there is a connection similar to what you're saying, but I couldn't tell you that for sure. You'd have to speak to a person who is an expert in etymology. But getting back to the Rashi, Shiyesh Beroishai Glustra, says Rashi, Shiroishai Ova, it's thick on the top, V'ro'i Lebuchna, and it could be used as a pestle, Lichtoish, to go and grind, V'lishchoy Boi Polpalim, to go and grind and pound and mash, Pilpul, pepper, but filahaki the Torah's kli alav, even though it has a Torah's kli, Rebleza oiser. That's why Rebleza in the Mishnah said it's still asur. El imkain, the only way there would be mutter is if it's kosher the tolui badelis. That if it's in fact it's attached and hanging from the door, can mefarish be gemara, because then it's crystal clear. Why would a person have a pestle hanging from his door? Ah, it's not a pestle. He uses it for a doorstop. Oh, then it's okay. Anybody that sees it says he's not using that to go and permanently make a hole or fix a hole or fill a hole in the threshold. It's obvious he's only using this temporarily to keep the door open and door closed, and he wants to use it ultimately as a pestle for purposes of grinding and mashing. Not on Shabbos, as Barry points out, but Matzah Shabbos or Sunday or Monday, etc. So Machlokes Reb Leizer and Reb Yossi. And both Reb Leizer and Reb Yossi say an interesting facet. Reb Leizer says, I'll prove it to you. Reb Leizer, Mas b'Knesset sh'b'Tveria. There was a story in the Knesset in Tveria. I don't know whether Knesset means Besa Knesset or some other gathering that took place in Tveria. Sh'in nehagin b'heter, that for years and years they said, yeah, no problem, you can use the neger. Ad sh'bar Ram Gamliel v'askenim. Ram Gamliel v'askenim found out about this practice. V'asulhen, he said, oh, no, you're, what you're doing is wrong. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, the story that you told is correct, but the facts are just the opposite. That for years and years, Mas B'Knesset B'Tveria, Isenu Agubai, Baram Glimas Kainan B'Tiru Lehem, they said, no, that it's Mutter. So Reb Lez and Rabbi Yossi, both Lishitosam, are now telling the story, but in reverse. Okay, so now, to understand the Machloikis in our Mishnah, first our Gemara narrows the Machloikis and says, Benitl ba'ogdai. Nitl ba'ogdai means that if in fact this glustra, I'm sorry, not the glustra, this neger was attached and it was hanging with, Rashi says, a chevel shel kayama, a strong, strong rope that you could not easily go and rip it off or remove it. Then everybody agrees. It is so crystal clear that the purpose of this pestle is to put it in and take it out. Not the pestle. The bolt is to put it in, take it out, put it in, take it out on a daily basis every time, just like you have a doorstop, right? Every time you want to keep the door open, you put the doorstop in. You want to take it out, you take it out. So you use this all the time. So here too, the fact that it is tied to the door with as a chevel shel kayama, mitakesher shel kayama, is a simon that it's meant lin oil, and it does not look like boina. So everybody would agree it's what. Keep li, where's the issue? B'she'ena nitl ba'ogdei, the top of the omid, where unfortunately, says Rashi, chevel dak, it's a very flimsy string. It's hanging on a thread, literally. And says Rashi, b'mahoya roitza litla misham, l'taltloi ayidei oisei chevel, if you decided to kind of transport it in the room, not very far, but just move it around a little bit, and you're holding that chevel, miyad nifsak, as you're holding it, the string tears and breaks because it's very, very fragile, very flimsy. Oh, in such a case, Marsova, Kim Diyesh Baroshi Glustra, since it has that pestle formation on top, Teres Kli Olav, and everybody will understand, I'm using it for Ne'ila, for closing the door, holding the door in place. No, since it's Einin Nitl B'Igdoi, means that since it does not remain attached to this thread, to this rope, because the rope is so flimsy, loy, then people do not realize that this happens to be a glustera, a pestle. They instead think that you are now trying to improve construction and fill up the holes left by the contractor or made by the rodents, and therefore people will say you're being over on bonus.
So you have to put a string that you know is going to break, so it shouldn't look like construction, right?
The other way around. You have to put on a very strong rope or string so that it becomes obvious that this is a doorstop or a door bolt and not intended for construction purposes. Because if it's a flimsy rope or string, according to Reb Lezer, even though it looks like a pestle, people might mistakenly think that you're being osek in construction and filling up holes in your ground.
I got the opposite view.
Now we're going to continue talking about this fascinating sugya. We're going to talk about a neger once again, but this one does not have a glister on top. This is just a plain, simple bolt. So negra nigra. Nigra means that it's taka attached to that chevel that we spoke about, that rope. It's attached to the door. However, says Rashi, it was a very long rope, so much so that this neger is unfortunately schlepping on the ground. It is not hovering in mid-air, but rather schlepping on the ground. So now, says the Mishnah, the Alamboy Mamigdish, in the base of Migdish, you could use that to go and use as a door bolt, a doorstop. Avaloy Bamedina, but not outside the base of Migdish. Now you're wondering, what difference does it make inside the base of Migdish or outside the base of Migdish? Whenever you see that type of distinction, you know automatically that we're not talking about an Isser the Oiraisa, but we're talking about an Isser Drabban. And the Rabbanon, when they made their Gzeirois, they didn't make many of the Gzeirois in the base of Migdash, because we have a general rule, Ein Shvus Bamigdash. That in the base of Migdash there was kind of a moratorium, if you will, that this is it's on its own, and many of the gzeiros that Chachamim made otherwise, for instance, the Gabi Hilcha Shabbos, don't apply in the Beis Hamikdash. Why don't they apply in the Beis Hamikdash? Number one, because Kehanim Zrizenheim, the Kehanim act with alacrity, and they know what they're doing, there's reason, they're careful, they're meticulous, they're scrupulous, we don't have to worry. There's another reason as well, because on Shabbos, you're allowed to do acts in the Beis Hamikdash that outside the Beis Hamikdash would be absolutely terrible isurim d'oraisa, such as shechting. Are you allowed to go and shecht an animal on Shabbos? Chas v'sholom, it's one of the 39 melachos. Avad, you're not allowed to. But in the Beis Hamikdash, not only are you allowed to, you have a chiyuv, you have to go and bring every single Shabbos two karbonos tamid, the tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel ben arboim. And to that you have to add the karbonos musaf. You have to shecht all of those. How can you do that? Gzeiros HaKos, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, in the Beis Hamikdash you're permitted. So therefore, similarly, the Chachamim permitted various isurim that otherwise would be osir midrabanan outside the Beis Hamikdash, but in the Beis Hamikdash they were more lenient. So therefore, says now the Mishnah, Neger HaNigrar, this neger that schleps on the ground, the Alamboy Mamigdash, you can use it to go and stuff up a hole in the threshold down below in the Beis Hamikdash, Avaloy Bamedina, but not outside. Why? Because the Chachamim are gozer, because of the concern that we spoke about before, that it looks like bona. Uy. But it's not real bona, it just, Rashi says, it looks like bona. Ain't a bona mamush. Why isn't it bona mamush? Because since it is tied to the door with this rope, it becomes pretty clear that it looks like a door stopper and not construction, not bona. But outside the Beis Hamikdash, the Chachamim were machmir. And they said, if it even looks 1%, 5%, 10% like bona, no, don't allow it. But the Beis Hamikdash, as we said before, they were Mekel. So therefore, Beis Hamikdash, yeah, but not in Medina. However, Vamunach, Munach means that it's not tied at all. It's just a neger on the floor, not attached to anything. Uh-oh, kan v'kan osir. That's already an issa d'oraisa. And Rashi says, because when you put it into the ground, it's binyan gomerhu. People look upon this as being real, live construction. And therefore, it would be an issa d'oraisa, just like knocking a peg or a nail into the wall. Here you're knocking this peg into the floor to close up the hole. Issa d'oraisa, and therefore it's osir even in the Beis Hamikdash, even though that was not his intent. So you're going to, so Harry's going to say, which should be totally the machloikis between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, the Meschavin, ain't the Meschavin, is it a psik reisha or not? Good, but anyway, that's the shita of the Tanakam. Reb Yehuda, I'm Reb Yehuda, is mekel in both cases, both in the Munach case and the Nigra case. On the Munach case, where it's lying on the ground, it's not attached to any rope at all. With the Tanakam, it says, kan v'kan osur, it's an issa d'oraisa, says Reb Yehuda, it's not osur d'oraisa, it's osur midrabanan. Why is osur midrabanan? Again, because it's not real bona, it's mechzeke bona, it appears to be bona. Oh, appearances, as a inyan of maris ayin, say the chacham, it's osur. But in the mikdash, they were mekel. Reb Yehuda oimah munach mutter b'mikdash. Vanigra, the one that is attached to the door and just schlepping on the ground because it's a long rope, that's mutter even by Medina. Because Reb Yehuda says, that's crystal clear, you see that it's attached to the door. Don't be foolish, don't think this is construction, this is a doorstop. Therefore Reb Yehuda says, no problem anywhere with Neger HaNigra. And now the Bryce expounds and expands on our Mishnah. Tanur Rabban, we learned that the Bryce says, Zeo Neger HaNigra, Shenei Al B'Migdash, that you're allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash. Avaloi B'Medina, but you cannot use in the Medina. In other words, this is exactly like the Tanakama of our Mishnah, where we started off Neger HaNigra, Neyal B'Migdash, Avaloi B'Medina, says the Bryce, Zeo Neger HaNigra, Kol Shekoshur, it is attached. Attached means that it's tied down. V'toloi, and it's hanging. V'roishi echad magia l'oretz, and it hits the ground. It is not hanging in mid-air, but rather it's a long rope, goes all the way down to the ground, and that's why every time you open and close the door, the neger is nigrar. It is schleps on the ground back and forth all the time. That's the case that we're talking about. Says the Tanakama, I have a gzeira midrabonon in Medina. Don't use it, but you can go and use it on Shabbos b'Migdash in the Beis HaMikdash. Reb Yehuda Omer ze'af Medina mutter. Says Reb Yehuda, no. Such a neger that is attached to the door, even though it's schlepping on the ground, come on, it's crystal clear. Dosenish kaboyne. He's not building. He's just using as a doorkeeper, a door stopper. Elozel nagush in the alba b'Migdash of Medina. You know which one the Chachamim were gozer? Oh, when it's Munach. Koshein loy koshur, it's not tied. V'loy toluy, and it's not hanging down. And it's not schlepping on the ground. But rather, v'shoim toy, you give it a kick, u'menicha b'keren zovius, and you find it in the corner. In other words, because of the fact that it's not attached anywhere, it's like many of our door stoppers, that if you're not careful, somebody's going to kick it around and you'll find it 3 feet further down. So the same thing is by the case of this munach, le kosher v'le toli. Anyway, so we have a machlokes between the Tanakam and Reb Yehuda and our Mishnah, as well as in the Braisa. What's the halacha? Reb Yehuda Mishmuel, halacha Reb Yehuda ben Nigrar. We pass like Reb Yehuda by Nigra, which means that if you have it tied to the door and it's schlepping on the ground, the Tanakhama says you can only use that in the Beis HaMikdash, not in Medina. Reb Yehuda says, no, you can use it everywhere on Shabbos. We paskin like Reb Yehuda. But what about the Munach case? Our Gemara is meniach. It leaves that case unaddressed. However, Rashi does address it. And Rashi says that, unfortunately, we do not paskin like Reb Yehuda. We paskin like the Tanakhama. That if this neger is not attached to anything, it's not tied, it's not hanging, it's just munach, kan v'kan osur, because it's an iser d'oraisa. And here's where Rashi says, because it's like knocking a nail into the wall. If you take a quick look at the Rashi, parallel to our Gemara, which says, halachik Reb Yehuda ben Nigra, says Rashi, mutar afil b'medina, anywhere you can use a neger and nigra. Avaloi b'munach, the Shari later Yehuda b'Migdash less Hilcha Kalvos say we do not pass like a Yehuda. Why? The Kibin Sheiner Kosher, since it is not attached to anything, it's not tied down. Shum or shame, binyan gomerhu. It's not different than any other real live construction. Kishar nagorim shenui atzim bekoislim. It's like any other type of peg or nail or screw shenui atzim that you go and knock into the wall. Vaboynekoshu is chayo. Umalocha diyoy rais aloy hutrim amigdash. It's an isin min atoira. The only isurim that we find that there's a heter of tiraisa chutz me'akrabis tamidim, oh musafim, karbanis tzibah. Those are doichim as a Shabbos exeris akosim. But otherwise, they don't think that Shabbos is a. They don't think that the Beis Hamikdash is a Shabbos-free zone. Chas v'shalom, Shabbos applies. Yes, there are a couple of inyanim such as bringing the karbanis exeris akosim. But otherwise, everything else is prohibited, and therefore, don't use the neger hamunach even in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. Right, Amarava. That we keep on saying that the neger, if it's attached to the door, it's tafkevusha kosher bedalas. That could be attached to the door, as opposed to, says the Rashi, the door post. Because if it's attached to the door, that's crystal clear. Why is there this hanging thing going back and forth on the door? Oh, I know why, because that's the door bolt. That's the door keeper, the door stopper. Oh, I know. But if it's just attached to the door post, who knows what it is? It maybe just keep it there so it shouldn't get lost, it shouldn't get stolen. But who knows that it's dafka for holding the door in place. Is this really the case? It has to be dafka kosher badeles. V'Reb Tavla, Ikalu M'choizer. Reb Tavla visited the town of M'choizer. V'chozen he saw, lahu, to have a totally be'ibrid dasha, that you had such a door stopper which was attached to the floor. The ibrid dasha means the threshold, the iskupa that we've been speaking about for the last couple of days. And at garnish gezot, meaning that he allowed them to go and use that door stopper that was attached to the ibrid dasha on Shabbos. How could he? Didn't you say it has to be attached to the door, not to the threshold, not to the doorpost? Everdimahu nitl bi ogdahava. That nitl bi igdoi, that goes back to the bottom of the Amid Beis. There's some background noise. Please, everybody, check that you're muted. Nitl bi igdoi, remember we had that right after the Mishnah back on the Amid Beis, where you had such a strong chevel, it was a chevel shel kayama, that kuliyama loy pligi, that there's no shail over there. That since it's so well attached, that it's not going to be severed for the next 100 years, it's crystal clear that that's lin oil for le mechsi kibayner. So that's how strong the rope was over here, and that's why Reb Tavla did not make a fuss in the town of Mechaisim. So which type of chevel are we talking about in our Mishnah? We're talking about that type of chevel which is not so strong, that in fact is rather flimsy. So what we have over here in our Mishnah saying is, that was the machloikis between the Tanakam and Reb Yehuda, the Gabi, the Neger HaNigra. Right, Rav Avya, we're going to have a couple of stories now. Rav Avya, Ikla Nerdo, Rav Avya came to Nerdo. Chazal Gavri saw a person to have a kokotir begemi, that he attached the neger hanigror, this bolt, to the door with a gemi, with a reed. Now we know reeds are very, very flimsy. Omar, he said, Dein loy nitrek, this one is no good. You cannot go and use this bolt, which is attached with this flimsy reed, on Shabbos, because this so can easily fall off. Thus is garnish mitnisht. It's worthless. So don't go and use it. Boyer Abzeira, Nikmasma. What about the famous case of Nikmas? Now, what means Nikmas? So Rashi explains that until now, all of the door bolting and door stopping that we've been talking about is just putting the door stopper into a hole in the iskupa. Iskupa is the threshold. But underneath the threshold, as you know, there is typically ground. What happens if this is a long bolt, so long that when you put it into the hole, into the iskupa, it goes all the way down into the ground itself. And then it's well grounded. The question is, does that make it even worse? Because now that you're putting into the karka, maybe it really looks like making the beginning of a foundation. Of course, all of this is just a binyan kosher, as Rashi said, but a binyan kosher is still a binyan gomor. As long as you're doing something to work and construct and build, So maybe this is worse by the fact that it goes through the hole in the threshold into the ground itself. Nikmas ma, what's the din? That's the shayla of Reb Zeira. So Amar Reb Yosef, Yosef looked at Reb Zeira. Mighty boy, what's your shayla? Lo shemile hadesanya, don't you remember the famous braisa that nishmat is the case of the munach, meaning that it is not attached to any wire, string, or rope, but rather it's, like the Gemara said before, shoymtoy menichoy bekeren zobius, you kick it and it goes into the corner. That's osir. That already, we said that's osir. That was a tanakama, kan vakan osir. Nikmaz, however, is mutter. Reb Yehuda Omar, no, nikmaz afu pishenu nishmat. Even if it's not nishmat, even if it's attached to the door, if it goes all the way down into the ground itself, that is awesome. Reb Yehuda ben Nikmaz. Frank, tomorrow of a time of mine, what's the reason? This looks worse than just putting it into the escupa, because escupa is in the threshold. Okay? You have a door over the threshold, you have a threshold, you have doorposts, you have a lintel, you have all of the accoutrements and all the appurtenance that would apply to a doorway. However, if it goes below, into the ground itself, ooh, that already looks like bona, and therefore it's awesome. What happens if you took this door bolt, what everybody is so concerned about over the last 25 minutes of our shiur, what happens if you build and attach to it a door handle? Make a small little handle to this bolt so that you can easily pull it up and put it into the hole. What happens now? Amalezi told him, Buchna ko amris. Now it has the appearance just like a buchna. Buchna means the pestle of the pestle, mortar and pestle. And therefore, it has the appearance to be a kli, and then it would be similar to the glustra that we had in our Mishnah. That according to Rabbi Yossi, since it has that, it looks like a kli, then people will not mistake what you are doing for construction. They will say, oh, he's just using it as a door slap. You see the handle over there, that this is meant to pull in and pull out and put in and put out. So people are not going to think it's construction. They'll realize that this is for just to keep the door in place. Itmar, Omer Amnachumi Bar Ada, Osele Beisiad, Mutter. Oh, like we just said. Ahu Sharisa, Nevosaista Sharisa. Rashi says Sharisa means a large koira. Koira means a large beam. The Havet Bei Rebbe Pedos, that was in the home of Rebbe Pedos. Now, you're wondering, how heavy was this beam? It was very heavy. The Havet Midlula Bei Asara. You needed 10 people to carry this beam. Wow, that's a heavy beam. V'shodlu Adasha, and they threw it down on the threshold to keep the door in place. They didn't say anything. Why not? It's taka, not a small little boltachol, a small little bolt that you put into the ground, but maybe they're starting some sort of construction. They're putting this huge beam down there next to the door. Says the Gemara, Omar, you know why I permitted it? Because Toiris Kli Olel. What's a Toiris Kli? Says Rashi, you can use it as a bench. People can sit down on it, right? There are not enough seats in the shul. Therefore, they brought in a brand new beam, put it there in the back, in front of the door. People can sit on it, and therefore, it has a Toiris Kli, just like the Glustra, yeah, just like the Buchna, with the Beis Yad. It's all permissible. Similarly, Ahi Asisa. Asisa is a mortar, again, from the pestle and mortar family. How do I know it's a mortar? Rashi says it's a mortar. Look at Rashi, six lines before the wide lines. Says Rashi, Asisa, mortar. A very fancy French term, mortar, which is the same as our mortar in English. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara, Asisa, there was this mortar, but this was a very large mortar, as we'll see. The mortar is the bottom part, the pestle is the part that you use for the smashing and the crushing. So the Havet Bei Mar Shmuel, it was in the home of Mar Shmuel, the Havet Machsekes, it was so large that it held an adriva. Now you're wondering, what is the volume of an adriva? Well, Rashi tells us it's the volume of a lesech. What is a lesech? Lesech is a half a car. A car is 30 sa'a. So this is 15 sa'a. How large is 15 sa'a in today's terminology? I saw the art scroll says it's something like between 37 and 66 gallons, something like that. So take a middle line, around 50 gallons. So it's quite large, this mortar. Anyway, Shoremar Shmuley Mishtaya Adashi said you could put it there next to the door and hold the door in place. No problem. Amateur is clear. Nobody thinks that you're engaging in construction. Everybody sees that this is a proper mortar. So it has a Teres Kli, and it's mutter to put there on Shabbos. So, now we're going to continue in Hilchos Binyan, but we're not going to talk about mortars or about these negers, these door bolts, but rather, Sholech Le Romi Bar Cheskel, L'Rav Amram, Neimlon Mar Mehalein Milim Aliyasa, De Amrislon Mishmei De Rav Asi, Bekipe De Arva. They asked of Amram, could you please repeat some of those beautiful Divrei Torah that you say in the name of Rav Asi, related to Kipi de Arva? What are Kipi de Arva? So again, you have in the art scroll, there's a nice picture over there. An Arva is a boat, and Kipi are... Oh, beautiful. See, you have a boat, and you have a series of upside down rings looking like upside down U's which are over the boat. What is the Shiloh over here? As we'll see, that those kipi, those their arches, the arch shaped rings that go from one end of the boat to the other end of the boat in a semicircular fashion, and those were used to drape, you would drape over it a tarp or a large sheet to go and protect the people that are in the boat when it's very, very hot, and to go and protect them when it's raining. So you have these kipid arba, which are stationary. They are built into the boat. We have arva in the Bavois, famous arva that they were mincele betray. There was a machloikis lagabi who the arva belongs to, called the Alam Gvar. Anyway, yeah, exactly. So how do you keep the arva? So what's the story about this kipid arba? Bizman chiyesh ben tefach. If each one of these structures, it's if you look, again, if you look at the art scroll, you see they're like 5 or 10. They look like upside down rings, upside down U's, which are attached to the boat. Oh, shekoyach. Let me see if the people can see it on the screen. I don't know if they'll be able to. You might have the art scroll, but if not, you can look at this picture over here, courtesy of our very tired chaver, Mr. Ed Morgenstern. Are you shekoyach? Okay. Anyway.
Morgan, I think.
Morgenstern.
Oh, there's
Stern
at the
end. Yeah,
Morgenstern.
Anyway.
Oh, because it used to be Morgan.
Yeah, that's what we'll talk about that later.
25 years.
We'll talk about him, Yitzchem.
And further.
Mukhar in the Morgan. We'll talk about it. But in the meantime, today we're continuing on with these Kippah de Arva. So, says the Gemara, as much as ben tefach, if they were a tefach thick, in other words, wide, inami in ben tefach, even if they didn't, they weren't so wide, but the ein bein zeh lezeh shloisha, but there was less than 3 tefachim between each one of the kipi, and based therefore on lovod, it's as if all of them are now merged into one. The next day, maybe machzelis, you can go and bring a machzelis. Machzelis is a mat, usually made out of reeds, or poyer solein, and you can go and spread it over the kipi de arva to protect people from the sun or from the rain. My time, because moisiv al aroihu v'shaper dami. Since these kipi are there already before, so you are just adding to an existing oil aroi, and this is permissible. In other words, to go and be moina lechatchili, you can't, but go and add to an oil, that's all right. And the Gemara gives a similar story. I know Dichri are rams, the Havalei Ravuna that belong to Ravuna to be Mimama throughout the day, Bo Tula. They would be very upset about the blistering hot sun. So they needed a shade during the day. Ubalailan at night, Bo Avira, they needed the fresh air coming and going in drafts to be able to breathe at night. So what did they do? So this Ravuna had an enclosure somewhere, where the, or a pen of some sort, where you had all of these rams, that during the day there was a cover over it, and at night they removed the cover. Now the question is, can you do this on Shabbos? Also the Kami Rav, Omale, Zil Kroich Budya, Veshayir Bot Tefach, and Lamacher Poshta Moisev Al Oyle Royu Veshaper Dami. So Rav says, you only have to be concerned, even in the previous case that we spoke about the Kippah de Arva, Rav apparently felt that you could not just go and spread that out on Shabbos on the pre-existing kipi de arva. Why? Because, after all, you're making a moisev al oil. You're making this tarp into an oil over the people in the boat. Here you're making a similar type of oil over the animals that are in the corral or in the pen. But what you can do, says Rav, is kroich budya on Friday night when you're opening up the covering, go and roll it up, but shayu b'tefach, leave at least one tefach open and spread out. And the mocha, the next day, the pasha, then you can go and spread out the rest of it. Why? Because since part of it was already lying there in the form of a tefach, spread out, so now you can just be moisiv, just go and spread out further. Aloy l'royil m'shapetom, and this is permissible. And this is the makar for the modern day shayla, the gabi, the baby carriages. That how can you go and spread out the top of the baby carriage? Aren't you making an oil until now it's gekvetched, and now you're spreading it out? So the answer is, even when it's gekvetched, it's usually right. There's a space of a tefach which is still spread out, so you're just extending it further. Same thing as the gabi eshlak on top of a sukkah, that even no matter how much you go and roll it up, it's still part of it is still open, right? You don't remove the whole thing, so therefore you can continue to unravel it or unroll it on Shabbos if you're concerned about the rain. So there's no shayla about being moist of oil. Based on this Gemara, you leave a little bit open shayla b'tefach, and then the rest is fine. And it could be that maybe in the case of the keeper de arva, maybe there was also that sense. There was also that it was
the keeper there. That was
or maybe the keeper itself. Oh, very good. So you hear from Brother Shai. Maybe you didn't need to because the keeper itself. That's the shayla b'tefach. Konzai. Anyway, continue on the Mordechai.
Is there an issue with going into the boat on Shabbos?
Going into a boat? People are sitting in the boat already from Erev Shabbos, and they're having a good time. The boat is not sailing. It's in the port. So you don't have a problem of Tchum. You don't have a problem of Amir La'akim. Everybody, why is everybody sitting in the boat? Because they're making a Sheva Brochas, and you can't just make a Sheva Brochas at home and only spend $50. You have to do something special and spend $500,000 to impress all of your friends, and then afterwards, Chas V'Shalom, they get corona from the whole thing. But that's what you have to do if you have a special status. Look, you want to write it. Amar Amishim Rabchia. V'loin mutl in toisai umutl leporka b'Shabbos. V'loin is not an oil. V'loin is a curtain. A curtain you're allowed to go and put up. You're allowed to take it down because it doesn't have a Torah's oil. You're just spreading it out. That's not a problem. Chilas chasan. Chilas chasan is a canopy that you put over beds. And we refer to chasanim because typically when the chasan got married, very often they had such a canopy. But lav dafka means any type of bed that you have a canopy on top. Mutter lefar comes to Shabbos, you're allowed to open it, you're allowed to close it on Shabbos. Oh, but not so simple. Amrav sheish b'reid av idile mor ele she'ein begagot tefach. Avayesh begagot tefach is osur. Only ein begagot tefach. That means, if you see the pictures over here, the pictures are not exactly perfect, but at least it gives you a sense. You have the bed underneath, obviously, and you have this roof over the bed upon which you are spreading out this keeper, this canopy.
Very high tech.
Oh, very high tech. Once again, you have a couple of pictures. Reb Ed Morgenstern is happy to show them to you. Two pictures on the right and on the left. Oh, for those of you that want to see it, we'll put it here right in front of the screen. Okay, right in front of the screen. One picture. Yeah, we had in Shabbos as well, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Anyway, so what's the point of all this? What's holding up the canopy? The canopy is not being held up b'derech nes, but rather there is one pole at the front of the bed and one pole at the foot of the bed in the middle of the bed. It doesn't disturb your sleeping because it's not on the mattress in the bed itself. It's at the it's hanging up. It's extending upwards from the bed posts, both at the head side and at the back side, the end of the bed, the foot of the bed. Good, and those are going up into the outer space. On top of the two poles, connecting them, there is a thin rod. That thin rod is now obviously horizontal, perpendicular to the two poles, which are vertical, and it's very sturdy, it's very well constructed, and now you can put the canopy on top, and that canopy will extend on both sides, to the right and to the left. So the Gemara tells us that rod on the top that connects the two poles, it depends the thickness of that rod. If the thickness of that rod is so not thick, that it's less than, or the width of that rod is less than a tefach, yes, you can go and put the canopy on. However, if that is wider, if it's a tefach or more, then it's osur, because now you're creating an oil on Shabbos. But now continues Rav Shishan Reish Bar Yidi, and even if that rod on top is thinner than a full tefach, when you're going downwards from the rod, looking downwards towards the bed, you put your canopy on top, now measure within the first three tefachim from that rod going downwards, how much is the spread of that canopy, to the right and to the left. If the spread of the canopy within 3 tvachim from the rod is a tefach or more, no good. Why? Because we're going to deem it as if the rod itself is a tefach wide. Why? Because of the principle of lava, that within 3 tvachim we merge the whole thing. So therefore, says Gemara, even if that rod on the top is less, the width is less than a tefach, lo yamoren, when did we say that you can put the canopy on Shabbos, ela she'ein bepachas mishloisha samuch legak, that when you're traveling down 3 tvachim, go on one of those two poles, you're traveling down 3 tvachim down from the rod on top, you don't have a tefach in width from the right side of the canopy to the left side of the canopy. If, however, even though the rod happens to be narrow, but the bed down below is fairly wide, so when the canopy comes down, it forms a very wide space, even up above, so that you have more than a tefach within 3 tvachim from the rod from the top, again, it's osur because you're making an oil on Shabbos. And even if you're going to tell me that as you're coming down from the top, downwards, within the first 3 tvachim, it's still narrower than 1 tefach, and therefore you want to be matir, you can only be matir, el she'ein b'shipua, onto the Amud Beis, el she'ein b'shipua tefach. What does this mean, b'shipua tefach? Shipua tefach means now we're not measuring at the top, at the rod, but we're measuring down below as it hits the mita, as it hits the bed. And l'choyra, on the surface, we're talking about a very, very narrow mita, meaning that this mita would be presumably just for decoration as opposed to actually sleeping on the mita. Why? Because what we have to do is we have to have that the space between where the canopy hits the bed down below and the pole which is in the middle of the doorpost of the bedpost, from that bedpost to the canopy, it's got to be less than 1 tefach. But if it's more than 1 tefach, then you have a problem of shipui aholim ki aholim dami, that's considered to be further like an oil. Now, if you think about it for a moment, that would mean that in the typical bed, that you have the 2 bedposts and the 2 poles extending from the bedpost, and you have the canopy coming down on the right and the left. If you're telling me that from the canopy to the bedpost to the pole is 1 tefach, and on the other side another tefach, that means that the whole width of the bed is 2 tvachim, which means that the whole width of the bed is 8 inches. How can a dollhouse, right? How can a normal person sleep on that? And therefore, Rashi says that it could be that they had multiple such bed poles extending from the bed post, not just one in the middle on the head side and one on the foot side of the bed, but rather that they had 3 or 4 or 5 poles, and each one of them had a canopy extending downwards. And that's the reason why you have this picture here in the Rashi on the left hand side, where you see down below it says mita, that's the bed, and what it really is referring to is the bed post of the bed. Bed post, of course, is the frame around the bed. Extending from that is not just one pole, but you have 4, 5, 6 poles coming up, and each one of them, if it's less than a tefach, then it's permissible. But if it's more than a tefach, then you have a problem.
How did you get in?
How did you get in? You
the
would,
poles.
You would.
They lift up one side.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're not. Whenever you go into your bed, you don't go from the,
from the
head, or
the
you go from the side, right? You don't go from the end. I mean, maybe you do. I mean, most people,
yeah,
they go. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, of course, no problem. Anyway, looking just quickly at the Rashi. Yes. What's your question?
We said earlier that if you have a tefach for the dichri or for the kipi, then you're adding to an ohel arai. Mm-hmm. Here we're saying if you have a tefach, it's usher. Don't these two thoughts contradict each other?
No.
In one case,
I understand your question. The case of the kipi, you're talking about multiple kipis, where each one is a tefach, and so therefore, from before Shabbos, you already have the construction of a full-fledged oihel, and now you're just being moisif al oil. Or in the case of the baby carriage, or in the case of the dichri, you had that part of it was already open, and you're just being moisif and you're adding to it. Here, talking about before Shabbos, you had the frame of the canopy, but there was nothing on top of it at all. Just that little thin rod on top. You're going to go and put up the canopy, if it's very, very thin, then it's not considered to be an oil, because it's almost like
narrow.
That they are, they're so narrow that it's almost like vertical walls, it's almost like a velon, it's more like a curtain than a canopy. However, if it's spread out, then it becomes more like an oil. So how do you define how it is, that the dimensions have spread out as opposed to just coming down vertically? So then it depends on the width on top and the width on the bottom. But it's all that before Shabbos, there's no oil at all. You just have the frame. Here you're putting this on and then you're making a full-fledged oil. Anyway, if you take just a quick look at the Rashi, about 5-6 lines in from the top of the Omid, you'll see it says, V'kashali. I never heard of a bed that doesn't have the width of at least 2 tvachim. How is it possible? Nobody sleeps on a bed like that. It's a normal, regular bed. And there are many poles on both sides. One is higher, one is lower. See, it's a ganze, it's a whole picture of the whole construction. Anyways, the point is, yes, we're talking about a normal bed, but you have multiple. Rashi says, continuing on, skipping a line, you have a bunch of smaller kilos, smaller canopies, and then you have one large canopy on top of everything. Oh, so that one on top of everything is already gunish. That's certainly mois val oil, because we already have numerous smaller canopies, and therefore if each one of them is less than 2 tvachim wide, then you're fine, and then you put the big canopy, and shalom al Yisrael. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara of Yom Rav Shisha Bered Avidi, this is a Gemara that we learned back in Masechta Shabbos. This was one of Rabbi Cohen Zichron Levracha's favorite subjects. Saina. What's a saina? Says Rashi, a koiva, a hat that has very wide brims. Says Rav Shishu Rav Idi, sign to show you how to wear that. But tiny, but there's another bride that says, oh, see, now let her wear. Like, gosh, oh, this Beit Tevach, less Beit Tevach. Oh, if it's such wide brimmed hats that you measure it, that it's more than 4 inches, like some of the older hats, particularly in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim they wear these very, very wide brimmed hats. Anyway, so if it's more than a tevach, no good. If it doesn't have a tefach, it's fine. Now you're wondering, why, what's the problem with ispei tefach? So according to the Gemara's Havamina, because it has the status of an oil. You, every time you put the hat on your head, you're putting an oil on top of your head. That's the Havamina, and that's what Rabbi Cohen always used to, would always question. So to my more, if that's the case, what happens if you go and you're putting on, glime would mean like a shirt or a beged, but when you're putting on your talis and you're making the atifas of talis, or as you know, the many people when they wear the talis extends beyond their heads another inch or two or three or four, whatever. If you really extend it, then it's coming down. So you're going to say, oh, the person made an oil. He put his talus over his head. Oh, I got a problem. What do you do now? So Timura, Ella loikasha, nah. You can wear hats even if they're more than a tefach wide. You can wear a Mexican sombrero. But what's the difference? Why does one braisa say shari and one braisa says aser? Had the mehedik, one is firmly in place. Had the mehedik, and the other one is loosely in place. You're asking, what difference does it make if it's firm or if it's loose? Says Rashi, because the concern of the Gemara is not mishum oil. The concern is that a draft is going to come and is going to blow your hat off. And then you're going to come and run down the street, running for your life, competing with the cars to make sure that it's not run over by a car. And then you might go and pick the hat up and shnell cross the street and holding it in your hand, and you're going to be carrying. So that's the shaila. So if you go and put it on fest means you put it on tightly, firmly, then you don't have to worry. Of course, a sudden wind can always come and pull off a person's hat or yarmulke. I mean, that's always possible. But we're talking about a ruach metzuya. If you go and put it down normally, fest and tight on your head, then you have nothing to worry about. But if you leave it loosely, that just anybody blows on it and falls off, that would be problematic. In Rashi, by the way, adds another interesting facet over here. Look at Rashi right before it says Mishnah, in the middle of the Amud. You see, Rashi had a mehedik, had a mehedik, but time alami shem oil, nothing to do with oil. I'll do with nofel mireish, it might fall off his head, vasel esu, you might come and pick it up. Hilkach. Hilkach ki mehedik, if it's fest on the head. V'kosh beritzua, and you go and put a rain bonnet, like the women wear, right? Yep. Kosher mitzvah tachas tzavare, underneath his tzavar, underneath the neck, you go and tie it like a bonnet, then it's shari, be lo yosef. So from Rashi, it sounds like you have to have both. You have to go, not only go and attach it to the head fest, but you also have such a kesher underneath it. You, obviously not with a kesher, you do with a bow underneath your neck. But the Meforshim explained the Rashi means oi oi ka'amar. Meaning that either you go and put it fest on the head really tightly so it's not going to blow off with a ruach mitzuyah, or if this happens to be a very large hat and your head is smaller than the hat and you're afraid that it's going to fall off, then make sure that you go and put in, you put such a tie underneath that it shouldn't fall off. So either one is sufficient.
I've seen hats with a string attached.
Okay.
And then they put it into the button of the lapel. And if it blows off, it can't get far. It's attached. It's like a yo-yo. Right back to you.
Beautiful. Okay.
It's in the head.
So anyway, you don't. So
that's anybody, the concern. Yeah.
Is there anybody who is worried about wearing this? There was Rabbi Cohen's concern maybe misplaced, or is there such a concern about a sombrero?
There are millions of people, not millions, but thousands and thousands of Tyre Eden that wear very wide-brimmed hats, and nobody is being ordered any shaggers. Okay, well, we don't feel so like that. We don't pass them like that. We had in the Gemara that their mayor and Rabbi Yehuda hold that the Shabbos is man tefillin. Did we find anybody that's machmir today to wear the tefillin on Shabbos? You can tell me the chumr is the other way around. It's muktzi. You can't wear it on Shabbos. Anyway, you always find another day, but we don't paskin like that. Zog the Mishnah Baita. Machzirin tzir ha-tachtoin be-mikdosh avaloi ba-medina. Ve-elyon kan ve-kan osr. What the Mishnah leaves out is what Rashi explains, and what the Gemara is going to explain is that we're no longer talking about, we're talking about again doors, like we've been speaking about with the door stops and the pivots and the bolts and the hinges and the gantzamasa. But here we're not talking about a door to a house or to a building, we're talking about the door to a shida teva umigdal. In other words, all of those of us that have cabinets or have chvais vitrines or whatever you have at home that has these, they have these doors. So those are the doors that we're talking about. And the doors that we're referring to were attached with a bolt on top and a bolt on the bottom. See, the bolts that we spoke about until now, the Gemara referred to as a neger. Here the Gemara refers to it as a tzir, which we had yesterday by Verova, a masim at the pivot. Apparently, the difference, again, we don't have the benefit in this edition of the Art Scroll. Maybe the next edition will have more pictures. But it would appear that the tzir is actually attached to the door, while the neger, as you saw, was not attached to the door, except that it was hanging from either a rope, or is hanging from the lintel, or from the threshold, or some other way, or wasn't attached at all, but you were kicking it around like one of these door stoppers, that type of situation. Here the tzir was actually built into the door itself, either the top or the bottom, and that kept the door to the cabinet in place so that the door wouldn't fall off and all the items in the cabinet wouldn't just be, you know, exposed to the to nature. So now the top tier, that top bolt that went in, that was much more crucial to the cabinet door than the bottom one. Even if the bottom one fell off or slipped out of its hole, you could still continue using it. But if the top one fell out, you have gehak tzuris, then it was going to be very problematic, and you really had to go and knock it back in to be able to use it. So it says our Mishnah, machzirim tzir ha-tachton memikdash. The bottom pivot, that bottom bolt attached to the door, slipped out of its place. Machzirim, you're allowed to go and push it back in the base of Mikdash. Avaloi b'medina, but you cannot go and do this outside the base of Mikdash. Why? Once again, by fitting it back into the hole, into the cabinet, it looks like you're fixing the cabinet, and therefore you're doing a binyan. Barry's about to ask, I ain't binyan bekelim. Here we're talking about a kli. So Rashi asks this kasha, and Rashi says that this man the Yama holds that yesh binyan bekelim. And that's the reason why you have to be very careful not to go and fix the tzir, which is slipping out or has slipped out of its indentation in the cabinet, it slipped out. Be careful when you're putting it back in because it could be a binyan. Look, at least it's Mechzik Kibinyan. Since it's Mechzik Kibinyan, it's only Issa Derabanan. That's why the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to go and slip it back in and push it back in. But don't do that by Medina, because what's the concern by Medina? Just to go and push it with your finger is not a problem. The problem is, if it slips out, and it's more difficult than just pushing with your finger, you might use a garzen or makeves. In other words, you might go and use a screwdriver, or use a pliers, or use a wrench, or something else, to wrench it back in place, and therefore, that would already be agansa malocha. It's not just that those items are muktzah, that would be a binyan, your tikkun mana, and the like. Okay, so therefore, b'mikdash, well, we're not goyzer gzeiris drabanan, it's mutter. Avlima medina, but not outside the base mikdash. For elyoin, elyoin means the top pivot, which is on the top of this cabinet door, kan v'kan osir, because that, if that falls out, then it's terrible, because then it's really broken, and you really have to put in a lot of efforts to go and squeeze it back in and push it in, and therefore, it's going to be not domila bona, it's real bona. And therefore, kan b'kan osir, it's also both by medina and the b'smikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Elyon b'mikdash. Elyon, you have to be careful about in the mikdash because it's an isid rabbanon, and therefore in the mikdash it's permissible. By medina, it's osir. But tachto, it is permissible even by medina because I'm not worried that you're going to go and start using wrenches and screwdrivers. Hey, you go and give it a kvetch, push it a little bit, and it'll fit back into place. Just to give you an example, you'll excuse the example, but just like you have in most bathrooms, you have the toilet paper dispenser that you typically have to get into the two notches to the right and to the left. Usually it's expandable, so you squeeze it in, but of course sometimes it slips out, so you give it a kvetch and you push it back in. So here too, this sear, of course, is not made out of plastic, so it's not expandable like our like the toilet paper dispensers, but you get the idea. It slipped out of the hole. It's this pivot on the bottom of the door. So you push the door up a little bit, you push it to the side, you give a kvetch.
So on Shabbos, you would be allowed to get the bathroom tissue holder in place again?
All modern day shilas, please ask a competent Orthodox rabbi. But under normal circumstances, if you're talking about this plastic thing that's coming out of the thing, you just give the kvetch and put it back. It doesn't seem to be a problem, but you know, you speak to the rabbis that have longer beards than I have, and hopefully they will give you good guidance in these matters.
That's why it's okay.
Yeah, but usually in Shabbos you don't use the rolls anyway. You use Okay. Anyway, maybe it's mukta. You see, you got a problem already. So speak to the rabbis and getting back to Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Tzir delas shida teva mikdash. Oh, that's what we're talking about. The tzir of a delas, not of a door, but the door, the small door of a cabinet, a sheet of table mikdash. The mikdash inside the base of mikdash. Machzir, you're allowed to go and return that tzir. In other words, push it back into place. But medina outside the base of mikdash, that's already doichkin. Then you have to go and give a kvetch. So therefore, kvetching becomes problematic outside the base of mikdash. Elyon kan v'kan lo yachzir. If you're talking about Elyon, even the base of mikdash, it's osir, because Rashi says this is real heavy-duty bona, because it's come out. Now, one thing that Rashi points out, which is very important, when we say that ein shvus b'migdash, that the Chacham were not gozer many of the exodus of the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't mean that Beis HaMikdash is now a Shabbos-free zone for all Isurim Drabanan. I want to be Oyben Issa Drabanan and touch Muktzah. You know what I'll do? I'm going to go and schlep it with me into the Beis HaMikdash, and then I'll be able to go and touch all the Muktzah items. Baruch Hashem, there's no Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Everything is fine. I don't have to worry. Rashi says Ein Shvus B'Migdash is only those things that have a Shaychus, some sort of connection to the avoid the Dona Beis HaMikdash. Things that which are Osim Midrabanan, but not related to the Beis HaMikdash, I can't just go and start saying, okay, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, let me be over this Isser and that Isser. No. It's got to be related to Beis HaMikdash. So you're wondering, what do you need these cabinets for in the Beis HaMikdash? Says Rashi, these were the repositories for Melach, Levoina, Ketoiris. In other words, you had this large cabinet, had a bunch of cubby holes in it, or drawers. One was full of Melach, that was salt. Al kol karbon chatakr melech ul kabbalas, you had to go and salt them. Or you had levoina, which you use for purposes of the lechem upon him. Or you had the ktoiris that you were makter every single day. So you had to put them somewhere. So you put them into these large cabinets. So unfortunately, the door started sliding out, slipping out. So that's the Ein Shvus B'Migdash, because you need that on Shabbos, so that the melach and the levoina don't all spill out on the ground and they don't fall away, etc. Okay, anyway, back to the one. Tana Ban. Tzir Dalas Shir Teva Migdal Ba Migdash in the Migdash. Migdash Machzirin. No problem. But Medina Doichkin, don't try to go and put it into the hole. Rashi says, if it's only partially slipping out of the hole, then Doichkin, then push it back in. But if it came totally out of the hole, then you're not allowed to put it back in on Shabbos, because I'm worried about that you're going to use a professional screwdriver, and then it's going to be a shayla of boina. And if you're talking about the upper bolt, that upper pivot, don't be machzer even in the base of Mikdash, because this is no longer an Issa Drabanan, this is now an Issa Diraisa, because you're doing a binyan bekelim, and Rashi says it goes according to Bani Yama, the holds, yesh bin bekelim. Now, Gzeira Shema Yiska. Now, this Gzeira Shema Yiska is not going on the Elyon case, says Rashi, because the Elyon is awesome in a Torah. Gzeira means Drabanan, that's going back on the Tzir Deles HaTachtoin, not the Elyon, but the Tachtoin, the Tzir which is on the bottom. What's the reason why you have to be careful not to be machzir ba medina? Gzeira Shema Yiska, because you might go and do it professionally by taking tools. Rashi's metamakeves, metagarzen, all different types of instruments which you're also to do, because that's real boina. Vimtokan, if you did it, chasashon, you've actually fixed it on Shabbos by using such an instrument, then you'd be chayiv chatas, and this is your eyes. Okay, that's all talking about the cabinets. Vishal bor, vishal dus, vishal yitziah. What happens if you have like a manhole cover where you have a door over there and it slipped out of its whatever? Lo yachzir, don't return it. If you do return to Chayef Chatos, here Rashi says this is much worse, because this is not just a cabinet, this is Mechuba Lekarka. So this really looks like Binyan Bekarka. This is no Binyan Bekalim now. This is a Binyan Bekarka if you're going to go and fix the manhole cover on Shabbos and putting it back. If you just put it down, that's not a problem. But if it's broken in some way that you have to fix it to slip it in, that will become far more problematic. Zok the Mishnah Vayte Machzir Retiv Amikdash Avaloi Bamedina in Betchila Kan VeKan Osur. We're talking about a kohen that is wearing a bandage, and he took the bandage off, and he wants to put the bandage back on Shabbos. Now the problem with bandages, Rashi explains, is because of potential memachik. Mamachik means that typically people didn't just put bandages on, they put an ointment on. And that ointment, if you smear it on Shabbos, you smear it on yourself, or you smear it on the bandage, that is memarik, or memachik, I should say. Memachik is one of the 39 lametes malachas. That's a redundancy. It's one of the 39 malachas. Good. So, why did the Kohen take this bandage off? He had it already on, already from Friday. Friday, you're allowed to put any bandage, it's not a problem. He took it off Shabbos morning because he was one of the people in the Beis Av that was doing avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, and because this bandage was on his hand, lemoshel, or even if it was on his arm or was on his body, it would be a chatzitza, either chatzitza in the avoid itself, that he's working with the carbon and he has his bandage on, that's a chatzitza, or even if it's on his body, it could be a chatzitza between his body and the big day kahuna. So that's why he took it off. Says Rashi, there are certain three items which are enumerated in Masechtas Beah, Hutru Soifan Mishum Tchilosan, that we tell the Kohen, yes, you can take it off, and we will allow you to return it and put it back on your skin on Shabbos, because if we don't allow you to take it off, you won't be able to do the Avoida. So, take it off temporarily, you finish the Avoida, you'll put it back on, we will matter Soifan because of Mishum Tchilosan. That's only you're being machzir, you're returning it. Avolim Medina. Outside the Beis Midrash, you have no heter. Again, because we're concerned about memachik. However, mitchila, if you're putting on a brand new bandage on Shabbos in the Beis Midrash or Bamedina, kan v'kan osur, because of the memachik, because of the potential of smearing the ointment, the oil, on Shabbos. Zoktimar, tonerabat, retiya sheporsha mi'al gabi makah. What happens if a retia, if such a bandage fell off of your makkah? In other words, you put it on and it fell off. Says the Tanakh, Machzir b'Shabbos, you're allowed to put it back on. Reb Yehuda is more machmir, and he says if it fell off, you cannot put it back on. But rather, Reb Yehuda imer chuchlika lemata, if it slipped downwards, it was you had it on your arm, it was near where you put your tefillin, and it started slipping downwards towards your wrist. Then doshka lemala, you can go and slip it back up. Lemala, if it was slipping upwards, In other words, you're holding your hands upwards and it went in the other direction, then doich lamat, and you can go and slip it downwards. So that to slip it up and down and adjust it, says Rabbi Yehuda, is okay. But if it fell off, you cannot return it on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda gives another kulis. Umegala miktas ritiya umekaneach piyamaka v'choiz umegala miktas ritiya umekaneach piyamaka. What happens if you're concerned about infections and germs? What you're allowed to do is pull up part of the bandage and rinse it with some water on your body, on the skin, to remove whatever potential infections or bacteria or whatever that might have gotten in. So therefore, open up a part of the bandage, mekaneach, rinse, piyamaka, part of the maka of the that's on your skin, and go to the other side, v'choiz megala miktas ritiya, and open up the other side of the bandage, mekaneach, piyamaka, that's all okay. But ritiya atzva lekaneach, but don't go and clean the bandage itself, neshimu marech, because you might come to marech, which is mamachik, you may come to smear the ointment or the oil or whatever you have on the bandage. The mirech, and if in fact you cause there to be a smearing, chayv chatzis, or even isad yirais. We talk a pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda that we said that you can adjust it upwards and downwards, but do not take a ritiyah that fell off and put it back on. Right? The Tanakhama says ritiyah shepershua sheparsha machzin. You can return it. Rabbi Yehuda says no. You can only adjust it huchlika up and down, but if it fell off, do not put it back on. Amr of Chiz Loishon of the Machloikas, we just had now between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you can return it or not. Elisha Pirsha al Gabi Kli, that it fell down off of your hand, off of your arm, off of your body, onto a Kli, like onto the table, onto your bed. Avo Pirsha al Gabi Kark, it fell all the way down to the ground. Everybody would agree, also, even the Tanakam would agree that it's also. Why would everybody agree? Because when you pick it up and you put it back on its place where the bandage was before, then it looks like you're doing a brand new bandage. It fell off and it's on the ground. It's like you're starting from scratch. Starting from scratch, like we had in the Mishnah, in Batchila, Kan Vikan Os. Omamar Barabashi, Havakim Nakam the Abba. I was sitting in front of Abba. Abba presumably means his father, which would have been Ravashi. Rashi explained. I think he does. He says Abba's father. Anyway, and what happened? Nofale Abbe Saja. Ravashi had on himself some sort of bandage and it fell off onto his pillow. The Kamahadale, and he put it back on. Now the reason why he put it back on is because we said that if it falls on Gabi Kli, it's different than it's Poyushal Gabi Karka. But remember, what did Rav Chizda say? Loishanu Elishbirsh al Gabi Kli. The Machloikis in the Mishnah and the Braisa, where the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to put it back on, and Rav Yehuda says, no, you're not allowed to put it back on. You can only adjust it. That's if it fell onto a Kli. But if it fell onto the floor, everybody agrees that it's asur. Now, remember, a moment ago we said, Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Allah, Rabbi Yehuda, we passed like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can only adjust, you cannot put it back on. And so therefore, he's saying, Abba, Tati, what's going on? Don't you know, V'kamahadali, Aminalei, V'kamahadali, put it back on. Aminalei, I said to my father, Lei Sovel Amar, doesn't Tata hold, Lahodi Amr Avchizda, Rav Chizda said, "Machlokes shepirsha gabi kli, but pirsha gabi karka is osir." So there's a machlokes gabi kli. The Amar Shmuel Loch Rabbi Yehuda, we pass on Rabbi Yehuda that even a gabi kli is osir. So Tati, how are you going and putting it back on? It's you're right. It fell on a kli. It didn't fall on the floor. But there's a machlokes, and Rabbi Yehuda is machmir by kli, and we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. So what's going on? Amalis. So Ravashi said, "Lo yishmieli." I didn't hear of this halacha. What he meant to say is, kalemalei svirali, I don't agree with Rav Chizda. What means he doesn't agree? Says Rashi, that Rav Ashi learned punk fakert. What means punk fakert? He held that if it falls down on a kli, and you can put it right back on, according to everybody, is mutter. Where's the machloikis when it falls on the floor? There, when it falls on the floor, even there the Tanakhama holds that it's mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, it fell on the floor. It's like putting it back on from scratch, like putting it on scratch for the first time. So then it's awesome. So therefore, that's where the machloik is, and then that's where we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it fell on the floor. But if it went and fell on a kli, everybody agrees that it's mutter. That's how Rav Ashi learned, not like Rav Chizda, and that's why he permitted to go and put back the bandage on Shabbos when it fell on the Beis Sadia, and it did not fall on the ground. Any questions, Rabbi Sai? Yes, Barry.
all very interesting, but it feels like Rebecca Maseches Shabbos. Why is this Maseches Erevin?
Well, we started off, of course, talking about the door is falling off. I'm sorry?
We started out this part with about finding tefillin and carrying.
Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy? Shall I say a little bit more?
Yes. It feels out of place. I'm bringing some subtle message here. That's all.
No, I'm not aware of any message. But as you know, Shas is that way. It goes me'inyan le'inyan, bo'is le'inyan. We go from one thing to the other thing to the other thing. Moitzi tefillin. It's not really that we're learning Hilchas tefillin, but if you find tefillin at Shabbos, can you carry it? That's an Erev in Shaila. And then if you have the door to the, you have the key to the door that we learned about yesterday in the Mishnah, that's a problem. Make sure you're in the same Rishus with the door, because otherwise you're going to come to carry it from the, oh, we're talking about doors. Oh, so let me tell you about door bolts. And what happens if it falls in, falls out, the boina. So, get into other shilas. And once we talk about the Beis HaMikdash, so now I have the Ritziah. Is that a problem? Can I put the bandage back on? Can I take it back off? Okay, Mitchum, to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Zagi Bench, one and all. Kol Tov.